The arrest of CFMEU boss John Setke, the Victorian branch secretary, on blackmailing charges has refocused the attention of the Royal Commission into Trade Union Corruption, which will deliver its final report to the federal government by the end of this month. In a bid to preempt the findings, the opposition has announced its policy on the matter, changes to the governance of Australian unions, which it says, if implemented, will stop the, quote, theft and flagrant misuse of members' money by a small number of union officials. Labor's proposed reforms include tougher civil penalties for corrupt conduct, beefed up powers for the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, and extra protection for whistleblowers. Brendan O'Connor is the Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations. He spoke earlier to our political editor, Alison Carabine.
Brendan O'Connor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ali.
Labor says it has zero tolerance for criminality and corruption in the union movement. But would you be announcing any of these reforms but for the evidence that has emerged from the Trade Union Royal Commission?
Well, I think our record stands for zero tolerance. In government, we tripled penalties for registered organisations. We responded when there were allegations well before the Abbott Turnbull government established the Trade Union Royal Commission, and we did so because we have zero tolerance, and because I guess as guardians of working people, the Labor Party feels keenly any offence against working people and corrupt union officials have no place in the union movement, and for that reason we made the reforms in government. And we're proposing these reforms today.
And one of the reforms that you are announcing includes penalties of up to $216,000 for union officials guilty of what Labor calls the most egregious conduct. But isn't that still below what company directors can be fined for corrupt conduct under the Corporations Act? That is, fines of up to $340,000. Why is there such a disparity?
Well, we're accept these provisions will indeed be comparable to directors. Let's be clear here, of course. The criminal jurisdiction will deal with matters of crime, but we are happy to ensure that there are comparable provisions for both companies and registered organisations. Let's remember, the most effective way to respond to these matters is to ensure people are convicted and jailed, and that's what's happened in the most serious of cases.
Well, what about jail terms? Are you proposing any extra prison sentences for union officials guilty of such egregious conduct?
Patently, there are clear criminal sanctions now, and indeed, in the most, I think, significant case, someone was jailed for 5 years for taking money from the union. I think the bigger question has been, are there sufficient powers in place to detect such conduct? And our argument has been we want to make sure that these instances are detected immediately or as quickly as possible. And the best way to do that is to have strong governance.
But that takes us to auditors. There are already criminal sanctions against auditors, but with your package, introduce sanctions for auditors who fail to do their job will be punishable by up to 12 months in jail and a $4,500 fine. That sounds like you want auditors to take the fall for any illegal or corrupt behaviour by trade union officials.
Well, I think that's a misunderstanding the law. As I say, people who commit such offences, such criminal offences, should be jailed, and that has happened, and it should happen. One of the problems have been, clearly there's been a failure to report, there's been deficiencies in auditing, and if someone is a registered auditor, then they should be reporting. They certainly shouldn't be complicit in their silence, and they shouldn't be reckless in their in conducting their job. So it's absolutely vital that we place sufficient sanctions against those auditors who fail to do their job. But let's not be let's remember here, the officials of any organisation, whether they're company directors or union officials, are jailed for much longer than 12 months if they've committed such offences.
But with regards to your package, doesn't it mean that what Labor is proposing still falls short of the tougher penalties regime contained in the government's Registered Organisations Bill, which you have rejected twice?
Well, we don't. We understand that there is a political game going on here as far as the government's concerned. There's no. I think it's quite clear that from the outset this has been a politically motivated effort by the government to establish a commission to go after the opponents of the government We've had a bias commission. We know there have been some issues in relation to that. Nonetheless, this is to do with dealing with what have been serious contraventions by union officials.
But if you are serious about improving governance and transparency, cleaning out corrupt union officials, will Labor now pass the Registered Organisations Bill and the separate legislation reintroducing the Australian Building and Construction Commission if indeed both bills are put back to Parliament?
The government is not looking to improve or indeed not looking to ensure that the union movement is clean. It wants to actually destroy the union movement, and therefore it comes with an ulterior motive to these matters, and that's why we'll talk to the government. Indeed, we think the government would accept that these are important reforms, and let's hope that they'll be willing to discuss these issues so that we are really focusing on better public policy rather than the efforts of this government to attack and destroy unions in this country.
And the government will have another weapon by the end of the month when the Trade Union Royal Commission hands in its final report. Are you announcing these governance changes now to try and minimise the political damage that's likely ahead for Labor?
Well, we've said all along that we had zero tolerance to corruption. And now this set of reforms are focused on ensuring that there is good governance. But if the government is not interested in good policy, but wants to destroy those organisations that effectively represent working people, then of course we're going to have a contest with the government over this matter. We have proposed these reforms in good faith. We're willing to sit down with the crossbenchers and the government, but we're pretty much sick and tired of the government spending tens of millions of taxpayers' dollars to attack its political opponents rather than deal with these matters properly, dispassionately, and with an eye to improving governance.
Brendan O'Connor, we'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ali.
And Brendan O'Connor is the Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations, speaking with Ali Carabine.